read you this morning Psalm 56. Psalm 56 to the chief musician, set to the silent dove in distant lands, a miktam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Father and our God, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for this psalm. We are thankful for our time in the Psalms this year. We pray that you would bless us as we meditate here upon Psalm 56, that you would cause us to grow in faith, that we, like David, would entrust ourselves to you and triumph over our fears by faith. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we bring our annual study of Jesus in the Psalms to a close. This year our octet has included Psalms 49 through 56. In Psalm 49 was the beastly man in which David contrasts the folly of wealthy, powerful men, of beastly men who fail to reckon with the reality of death and the justice of God. He contrasts them with the upright who do trust in God. Then in Psalm 50, we study the covenanted man in which God himself rebukes the shallow externalism and the rank hypocrisy of his saints, those who were in covenant with him. Psalm 51, the confessing man in which David openly acknowledges his sin and guilt, praying that God would both forgive him and transform him by his grace. Psalm 52, the deceitful man, in which David rebukes men like Doeg the Edomite, warning them of God's judgment and assuring the righteous of God's favor. Psalm 53, the godless man, in which David highlights the folly of unbelief. Psalm 54, the oppressive man, in which David cries out for God's help in the face of the treachery of strangers like the Ziphites. Last week, Psalm 55, the burdened man, in which David teaches us to cast our burdens on the Lord, burdens like Ahithophel's betrayal of David into the hands of his enemies. And now today, Psalm 56, the fearful man, in which David pleads with the Lord for deliverance and reminds himself to trust in God's word while imprisoned by the Philistines. You may recall the story. Saul's relentless pursuit of David eventually convinced David that he would be safer among the Philistines, Israel's enemies, than among his own people. And so he went to Philistia hoping to lay low. However, he was recognized and he was arrested, thrown into prison, brought before the king. And in this extremity, David called upon the Lord for deliverance, a call that is recorded for us here in Psalm 56. You may imagine David's temptation to fear in this situation. He was now in the hands of those whose champion, Goliath, he had slain years earlier. He was in the hands of the people whose sons' foreskins he had used to pay the dowry for Saul's daughter, Michal. And so David, in this extremity, resorted to stratagem. He feigned madness before his captors, scratching the doors of the gate, permitting his saliva to run down his beard, mumbling incoherently. But in his heart, he pled with God for mercy, lamented his predicament, and reminded himself to trust in the Lord and vowed to extol the praises of the Lord if the Lord would but deliver him. David, therefore, in the course of this psalm, models how to deal faithfully with our fears, a lesson learned by our Lord Jesus and taught to us by the Spirit. This psalm, Psalm 56, is divisible into three parts. The first two end with a common refrain or chorus. In verse 4, you'll notice, "In God I'll praise His word. In God I put my trust." Notice that that same refrain is repeated in verses 10 and 11. "In God I'll praise His word. In the Lord I'll praise His word. In God I put my trust. I'll not be afraid." So that ends both of those first two sections. And then the third, in verses 12 and 13, contains David's vow of praise. So the three sections are David's faithful plea in verses 1 through 4, David's faithful lament in verses 5 through 11, and then David's faithful vow in verses 12 and 13. So let us look at our text this morning. We begin with David's faithful plea. What would you do? What would you do if you found yourself in prison by those who hated you and wanted you dead? David cried out for God's mercy, reminded himself in the midst of his extremity to trust in God's promise. "Be merciful to me, O God," he cries out in the beginning of our psalm, "for man would swallow me up, fighting all day long. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day long, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High." Right? David pleads for God's mercy. He vividly describes the opposition of his enemies, swallowing him, oppressing him, hounding him, fighting against him. But in the midst of this temptation to fear, David speaks to himself as in his extremity. He reminds himself to trust in the Lord. Verse 3, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." And then comes our refrain, "In God I will praise His word," His promise, His word of a blessing toward me, His promise to raise me up and make Him His king. "I will praise His word. In God I've put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" David reminds himself that these men who have arrested him are mere flesh, no match for the almighty and sovereign power of the Most High God. The end of verse 2 there, "There are many who fight against me, O Most High." Different translations will translate that. "There are many who fight against me from on high," which is also a legitimate translation of the text. So it can go either way. Either they're fighting against him from a position of pride and arrogance and power, or they're appealing to the Most High God. Regardless, David is putting his trust in the Lord in the midst of his fear. We then find in verses 5 through 11 David's lament. Ironically, David answers his own question, right? He asked at the end of verse 4, "What can flesh do to me?" And in verses 5 and 6, he tells you, "All day long they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life." David is afraid. They want to destroy him. But though they can do all these things, David reminds himself and us that they are bounded by Almighty God, who loves and cherishes those who put their trust in him. David begins with a rhetorical question in verse 7. Shall they escape by iniquity? Right. All these things that they're doing, twisting my words, planning evil against me, gathering together, plotting my destruction, shall they escape by iniquity? This is a rhetorical question. And the expected answer is no. Right. It's not yes. Shall they escape by iniquity? No. And so David prays that God would bring them down in anger. Cast down the peoples, O God. Not only these who were plotting against him, not only these who were twisting his words, but all those like them who do similar things. In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. David then remembers, he calls to mind God's care for him in verse 8. You number my wanderings. And so knowing that God cares for him, David then prays that God would care for him. Put my tears into your bottle. And then he reminds himself again of God's care. Are they not in your book? God cares for me. God care for me. God cares for me. In the midst of his fear, he reminds himself of God's care and cries out for God's care. And then this confidence of God's love for him reminds him in verse 9, he has this confident declaration of faith. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. God will be faithful. He will answer. I need not fear. How does he know this? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. God is for me. God is on my side. And if God is for me, who can be against me? And so David again comes back to his refrain. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, in Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can these Philistines do to me? God numbers every hair of my head. What can they do to me? We then finally find David's vow, his faithful vow in verses 12 and 13. David vows to offer a sacrifice of praise to God when God delivers him from this trouble. Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. Right, David, in his imprisonment, in his extremity, in this threat to his life, promises God, God, if you will but deliver me, I will give praise to you, public acknowledgement of your favor and your kindness and your glory. And reminds himself, vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. I will fulfill my oath. Right? Deuteronomy 23, verse 21 reminds us, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you. And it would be sin to you. And so David promises to praise the Lord. I will render praise to you. And so confident is David of God's favor that he speaks of his deliverance as already accomplished. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? There was still much for David to accomplish in the light of the living, right, among his people. God had promised he would be king, and David knew that God would not abandon his word, and so he vows to praise God once God delivers him. In Psalm 56, therefore, as we consider this psalm, David is teaching us how to deal faithfully with our fears. David was afraid, yet he triumphs over his fear by faith. He triumphs over his fear by faith. John Calvin, whom I'll be quoting a bit this morning, he writes in his commentary on this psalm, he says, "There is nothing in David's words which implies that he was absolutely raised above the influence of fear and every sense of the dangers by which he was encompassed." Right? In other words, David was afraid. He had every reason to be afraid. But his words imply no more than that he triumphed over his fears through that confident hope of salvation with which he was armed. He triumphed over his fears by faith. And the Lord has recorded this psalm for us so that we likewise may triumph over our fears by faith. So how do we deal faithfully with our fears? There are three things that I want to point out from David's psalm. First, identify the causes of your fear. Second, speak the truth to your fear. And third, anticipate that God will deliver you from your fear. Identify the causes of your fear, speak the truth to your fear, and anticipate God's deliverance. First, identify the causes of your fear and articulate them to God. David clearly articulates why he's afraid, right? What is it that's tempting him to be fearful? In verses 1 and 2, and then again in verses 5 and 6, David articulates the cause of his fear. "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up, fighting all day long. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life." David fears these men are going to destroy him. He articulates, he identifies why he's afraid, and he articulates that to God. And so the first thing to do with our fears, after, of course, acknowledging that you're afraid, which usually when we're in a situation like this isn't hard, right? But the first thing to do is to identify what is it that is making us afraid. What are you afraid of? Poor health, the opposition of others, getting fired, being disliked, going hungry, suffering ridicule or persecution, being separated from God, losing your family, being alone, losing your children. Right, whatever it is that is arousing your fears, put it out on paper. Describe it. Identify it. Describe it. Classify it. Clarify it. Don't let nebulous fears overwhelm you, cow you, or depress you. Right, several weeks ago, I quoted the 18th century British writer Edmund Burke, who wrote that no passion so effectually robs the mind of all its powers of acting and reasoning as fear. It is one of Satan's schemes. He uses hazy, nebulous fears to paralyze us. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And so David identifies what it is that's making him afraid, and he articulates it to God. Here it is. Here's why I'm afraid. Second, David confronts his fear in faith. He speaks the truth to his fear. Right? Is David tempted to be overwhelmed by his fear? Absolutely. He is imprisoned by his enemies. He's forced to feign madness in the hope that they might release him. David is in dire straits, but David speaks to his fears. He speaks to himself in his fear, right? Verse 3, whenever I am afraid, right? At any and every time I am afraid in the midst of this imprisonment, I will trust in you. So notice the way in which David speaks the truth to his fears. Right? He reminds himself to praise God's person, God's promises, and God's power. God's person, God's promises, and God's power. He takes his fears and he puts them in the context of God's person, God's promises, and God's power. He speaks the truth to his fears. So first, David speaks the truth of God's person to his fears. David reminds himself what God is like. He reminds himself of God's character. And the first thing that he reminds himself is that God loves his people. God loves his people. If you are in Christ, God loves you. God is on your side. Right, notice what David says in verse 8. You number my wanderings. You number, in Jesus' words, the hairs of my head. My tears are written in your book. You take note of my suffering. You care for me. David is confident of God's love for him. And this is why he speaks with such confidence in verse 9. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. He will never abandon me. Why? Because he is Yahweh, verse 10. In Yahweh, I will praise his word. He's Yahweh. He's the covenant keeping God. He's not like the fickle pagan gods, gods who make promises and then break them. He is a God who's always loyal to his people. He never breaks his word. And this is good news, right? This is the truth that we should speak to our fears when we are tempted to be overwhelmed by them. If you are in Christ, then God is for you, even as he was for David. Right? This song is yours to sing. And if God is for us, Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So when we're tempted to be overwhelmed by fear, let us speak to ourselves the truth of God's person. Who is God? What's he like? What is his attitude towards those who are in Christ? He is Yahweh. He is the covenant-keeping God, the God who so loved his own that he sent his only begotten Son to deliver us from sin and death. Praise the Lord. Speak to your fears the truth of God's person. Second, David speaks to his fears the truth of God's promises. David knows that God's word is reliable because God is reliable. God is reliable, therefore God's word is reliable. Notice verse 4, in God, I will praise his word. And then he repeats it twice in verse 10. In God, I will praise his word. In Yahweh, I will praise his word. David grounds his faith, grounds his confidence, grounds his triumph over fear in God's word. John Calvin writes in his commentary, I've given you this quotation in your handout, he writes very trenchantly. He says, the ground of David's joy is said to be the divine word, right? God's word. And this implies that however much he might seem to be forsaken and abandoned by God, right? Here he is. He's in prison among the Philistines, among his enemies. That however much he might seem to be forsaken and abandoned by God, he satisfied himself by reflecting on the truthfulness of God's promises. He would glory in God notwithstanding, and although there should be no outward appearance of help, or it should even be sensibly withdrawn, he would rest contented with the simple security of God's word. The declaration is one that deserves our notice, Calvin says in his understated style. How prone are we to fret and to murmur when it has not pleased God immediately to grant us our request? Our discontent may not be openly expressed, but it is inwardly felt when we are left in this manner to depend upon his naked promises. When all we have are his promises, when we're imprisoned by our enemies, and all we have is his word. It was no small attainment in David that he could thus proceed to praise the Lord in the midst of dangers and with no other ground of support but the Word of God. But David triumphs over his fears by faith, by grounding his hope in the Word of God, in the promises of God. So when we are tempted to fearfulness, tempted to be overwhelmed by our fears, let us speak to ourselves the truth of God's promises, right? His word is more reliable than your feelings. His word is more reliable than your fears. Do you believe that? And what has God said in his word? God declares that he so loves me that he sent his only begotten son to die for me and to forgive me. God declares that he works all things together for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. Jesus declares that he shall never lose any of those who come to him, but shall raise us up on the last day. God's word is full of those kind of promises. Speak them to your fears. Speak the truth of God's promises to your fears. Finally, David speaks to his fears, the truth of God's power. What can flesh do to me? What can man do to me? God's power is greater than all, and his power is arrayed on the side of his Christ and those who believe in him. Again, Calvin writes, he says, what is more obvious? If this is your first Sunday with us, I don't always quote Calvin at this length, but it was so good. Right? And I thought, he says it better than I could say it. He says, what is more obvious than that God is able to protect us from the hand of men, that his power to defend is immensely greater than their power to injure? Right? Isn't that obvious? God is omnipotent. This may be true he continues. But we all know too well how much of that perverse unbelief there is in our hearts, which leads us to rate the ability of God below that of the creature. Even though we know, even though our theology teaches us that God is omnipotent, that nothing can compare to his mighty power, yet when I'm speaking to my friend about the gospel, yikes, I might offend them. They might not like me. He goes on. He says, it was no small proof, therefore, of the faith of David that he could despise the threatenings of his enemies. And it would be well if all the saints of God were impressed with such a sense of God's superiority to their adversaries as would lead them to show a similar contempt of danger. We shall find men universally agreed in the opinion that God is an all-sufficient protector. But observation proves how ready we are to distrust him under the slightest temptation. When exposed to the opposition of assailants formidable for strength or policy or any worldly advantages, let us learn with David to set in opposition to them and to set God in opposition to them, and we shall speedily be able to view the mightiest of them without dismay. God is far greater than any man who threatens me. God is far greater than Satan who would tempt and destroy me. God is far greater than this illness which afflicts me. So I will speak the truth of his power to my fears and remind myself to view the mightiest of my enemies without dismay. Notice, therefore, that David triumphs over his fears by faith, by speaking the truth to his faith, to his fear. He speaks the truth. He reminds himself. And notice the way David does it. Verse 4, in God I will praise his word. He doesn't just give a head nod. That's right. He praises God's word. God's word is infinitely powerful, infinitely reliable. It will never betray us because God will never betray us. He is reliable. David reminds himself in praise of God's person, God's promises, and God's power. Finally, David anticipates that God will deliver him from his fears, right? He vows to praise God for the deliverance that he knows is coming. And so confident is he of deliverance that he speaks of it as already accomplished. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Through his word, God has already promised it. And so David knows that it's certain, and he speaks of it as already accomplished. And so he vows to praise God when God will deliver him. David fulfilled this vow. Of course, we have Psalm 56 before us, which David couldn't write while he was in prison. He composed it while he was in prison, but he couldn't write it there because he was pretending to be insane. But he wrote it later so that we would have it. But we also have another psalm from this same incident, which David wrote when God delivered him from Abimelech. It's Psalm 34. David composed Psalm 34. We're told in the title of Psalm 34, it's Psalm of David, when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Right, he wrote this psalm after God had delivered him. He wrote this psalm in fulfillment of his oath, Psalm 34. And here are the first four verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. God delivered David from his fears. And so David would bless and praise the Lord. And so when you are in distress and in need of deliverance, tempted to be overwhelmed by your fears, vow to praise the Lord publicly when he delivers you from that which is causing you to be afraid. And then when he delivers you, be sure to fulfill your oath and to praise his name. This psalm was no doubt a great comfort to our Lord Jesus when he found himself imprisoned by his enemies. He reminded himself not to fear, but to trust in his Father and to trust in the promises that his Father had made to him as the Christ. He knew that God would deliver his soul from death, would keep his feet from falling, in order that he might continue to walk before God in the light of the living. This promise God fulfilled in raising up the Lord Jesus victorious over the grave. And so now Jesus sings this song with us in our midst and reminds us to entrust our fears to the Lord and to remind ourselves that God's person, God's promises, and God's power are greater and more reliable than our fears. God's word is more reliable than your feelings. And so as we come to the table, the Lord gives us a tangible reminder of all these things. David invites us in Psalm 34, the psalm that he composed after he was delivered from Abimelech. In Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10, David says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good things. And so as you partake of the bread and the wine, as you taste them, remind yourself of the goodness of our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we are thankful that you are reliable. In you we would trust. In your word we would praise your name. For you are Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. We know that when we cry to you, you will deliver us. You will bring down our enemies. You will cause your name to be exalted in the earth. And so we pray as our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.